From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. How much training do you need to kill someone with a gun? Think about it. It's one thing to know the safety stuff, but security consultant Paul Bene says that's not the same thing as actually engaging a real bad guy with a gun and pulling the trigger. The idea of proper training for teachers who carry weapons to school in Utah has come up again in the wake of an incident last week at a Taylorsville elementary school where a teacher accidentally discharged her concealed handgun and injured herself in a faculty bathroom. Today in the program, we're talking about some of the questions that have come up. Among them, whose rights take precedence here? The teachers or the parents? Is the training for this kind of thing enough? And finally, what does it really, truly mean to carry a gun when the bad guy has one too? Join us after the news.
Hi, this is Benjamin Bombard, one of the producers of Radio West. Our online audio and podcasts are made possible by KUER and its listeners. If you like Radio West, help us make it happen. You can donate $10 right now by texting KUER to 85944. That's KUER to 85944. And thanks.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. If you ask State Representative Kurt Oda, he'll say people may be overreacting to the incident last week where an elementary school teacher in Taylorsville accidentally pulled the trigger on her concealed handgun in a faculty bathroom. She's okay. The bullet apparently hit the toilet, sent lead and porcelain fragments into her leg. Gun rights advocates like Oda say it was an accident, that it had nothing really to do with permissive gun laws or lackluster training. She just did a stupid thing, and it was an isolated incident. In fact, Oda points out bus drivers cause way more accidents in Utah than teachers with guns. But that isn't terribly reassuring for gun control advocates and for some parents who see last week's incident as an example of what can go wrong with a law where teachers can carry a gun at school in Utah and not tell anyone, including the parents of the kids they teach. Today in the program, we're talking about some of these issues, about the law, about rights. But this also raises the question of whether teachers with guns are trained, are able to engage a bad guy and shoot them dead. We invite you to join us. 801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. But also, by the way, I'd like to hear from those of you on Facebook and on Twitter. Curtis Oda is the Republican representative for Utah's 14th legislative district in Clearfield. He describes himself as a strong proponent of self-defense, and he's joining us today by phone from Clearfield. Representative, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Doug, how are you?
I'm great. Well, the story that got all this conversation started, of course, last week, I mentioned it there in the introduction. How are you seeing that? That this is an isolated incident where people are kind of overreacting, or is it a good time to raise some of these questions?
Okay, let me preface one thing before we get started on that, and then I'll get into that question. In your opening comment, you said, "Is a teacher trained well enough to shoot the invader or the perpetrator dead?"
Right.
Okay. No one is taught to kill. No one's got the right to kill. The goal is to stop the threat.
Right.
Okay. In a situation like that, it's basically the teacher may even fire a shot into the ceiling, but the assailant may hear the gunshot and bolt on his own. He may leave.
No, it's true. It's true. But the point I was making, and we can spend some time with this, was just that do teachers who have guns have the capacity to, under a duress situation, do what might be the ultimate thing, and that is pull the trigger on someone who also has a gun?
Well, we hope so. The thing is, it's not necessarily about shooting the assailant directly. It may be just shooting the warning shot. You don't know what it's going to take, but if a shot is fired, typically the assailant will probably try to take cover himself, which then slows him down, giving the uniformed officers, the peace officers, to get there and possibly engage him at that point. But, this isn't about prevention or anything. But anyway, getting back to your first point, I just want to make sure that you have, everybody understands that no one's got the right to kill. It's stopping the threat,
right?
Or at the very minimum, slowing it down. So anyway, let's get back to your first question here. This is an isolated situation, incident. We've allowed firearms in schools in Utah, statewide, in public schools, for nearly 20 years. This is the first incident, okay? Teachers have been, administrators, they've been carrying for many, many years. Of course, it has increased over the last few years since Sandy Hook. But Columbine and then Sandy Hook and all of these other places. But if you look at the idea of where these mass shooters go, they go to what's called a soft target. Basically, masses of people where they're unable to defend themselves, typically gun-free zones. Okay, and so that's why they choose those places. The incident was definitely an unfortunate accident. Now, she is fully responsible for anything like that happening. We all have that responsibility to be as safe as we possibly can. Going to a restroom is probably one of the trickiest things that you can do. In fact, there are more accidental discharges in those situations in locker rooms and in restrooms in police departments. Okay,
yeah.
So they have a lot of those.
But let's get to the bigger question here. I think you've made the point that this was, from your perspective, just an isolated incident. People may be overreacting to it. But let me get to some of the bigger questions here. Why is it, Representative, written into the law that teachers who carry firearms, who have a concealed carry permit, are not required to inform, you know, the school administrators or even the parents that they have the gun? Why shouldn't they have to say to parents who obviously, most of them, many of them anyway, would want to know that they are carrying a gun?
Well, because you'll get somewhat of a similar effect as what New York had when the New York Times published all the names of all gun owners and that in the state. Burglaries and assaults skyrocket, okay, because they knew who had guns or who didn't. Burglaries were taking place in homes without guns because they knew they couldn't be they couldn't defend themselves. Burglaries happened in homes with guns. They'd watch them and go in and try to take the guns. With the situation here, not allowing it, we don't know what parents. You know, the small fraction of them would take it personally. And that you could actually end up putting a teacher in jeopardy, potentially harassment. It could be physical threats, all kinds of stuff like that. The other issue is if it's publicized like that, the word gets out, the assailant gets to know who it is. Who's going to be the first one they take out?
Yeah. So it's a strategic disadvantage. Okay.
The whole idea of concealed carry is the element of surprise.
So I wonder, so how do you balance then as a lawmaker the right? So where do the rights of the parents come in to, do they have any rights in that regard to know that their teachers, the teacher of their kids, is carrying a gun? I mean, where do you even put that into the equation at all?
Well, the parents have all the rights to transfer their kids to any of the schools that's out there. It's open enrollment. Private schools can ban guns.
Yeah, but Representative, they don't know who has the guns. I mean, mentioned that point. So why would they transfer them to anywhere?
They don't know who's carrying a gun when they go in the grocery store.
Right. Right.
Okay? They don't know who's carrying a gun when they go to the airport. Outside of the secure checkpoint.
So most Utahns, according to one poll, support this idea of teachers being able to have concealed carry permits. But, and this was striking, 82% said a parent should know. I guess from your perspective, that would defeat the purpose if the parent knew, obviously. The whole idea is the element of surprise. But that's a pretty significant number of parents who are saying, I want in some way, you guys figure it out, but I would like to know if you can figure this out. So what do you make of that? I guess there's just no getting over that.
I'd like to know how the question was asked, because that can have a serious impact on how they answer it.
I wanted to get to this question of what it really means to carry a gun. This was something we were talking about right off the bat. Here's how the editorial board at the Salt Lake Tribune put it. They said, people who think it makes a school safer to allow teachers and administrators and janitors and lunchroom ladies to pack heat on campus have watched way too many James Bond movies, which is kind of an irreverent way of, maybe even a facetious way of putting it, but they're raising the question of what really is involved when someone carries a gun. That is, the stakes that are actually involved. And I wanted to ask you about that, because our
the number one thing about these classes is to understand that you've got a high level of responsibility to be safe. Within the curriculum is a safety requirement, and also within there is the aspect of the escalation of force as needed. Okay, and now these situations or these rules or standards are the same whether you have a permit or not. So a person with absolutely no training at all, which if they're at least 18, can carry an open firearm. Not in schools, okay, but most any place else, and it just cannot be. It just cannot have a round in the firing position. That's all. But they don't have to have any kind of training. But the people still have the right to defend themselves and others. The teacher.
But I guess the question is then. The security expert we're going to be having on the program shortly said that learning how to shoot a firearm doesn't mean you're qualified to engage someone under duress. In fact, he says just because you have a driver's license doesn't mean you can drive in the Indy 500. And the point he was making is that for teachers who are carrying a gun in a situation, in a duress situation, a bad guy has now come into the school with a gun, that there ought to be some level of training that makes them prepared for that. What do you say to that?
Proficiency should never be a prerequisite to the right of self-defense.
Why?
Okay, we encourage more training. We want permit holders. In fact, we want non-permit holders to get more training. But we want people to understand how firearms work. Most of the anti-gun crowd have no clue how to even look at a gun, let alone touch it.
But why not assuage some parents' concerns and say, look, what we've done with teachers is we know that there are some concerns that people have about whether or not this may be dangerous, and so we're going to give them an extra measure of training. Would you be opposed to that at all?
As long as it's voluntary.
Has to be voluntary. Shouldn't be imposed.
We already have one sheriff that's doing that, and he is in his school district. I'd say probably close to 100 have already gone through it. He puts them through a mock school situation, and he's done a tremendous job.
Some lawmakers.
I'm not prepared to say who it is at this point. I don't have his permission to do so.
Okay.
But
you like that idea.
I don't have a problem with that.
As long as it's voluntary. It shouldn't be imposed is your big concern.
We, in our classes, we encourage more training. Okay, but I'll tell you what's going to happen someplace down the road in some of these other states where they require high levels of proficiency. Somebody's going to defend themselves without any kind of training at all, and some prosecutor's going to say, sorry, you didn't have the right to defend yourself because you didn't have the training. You weren't proficient. You didn't have the certification saying that you could hit, a strawberry sitting on a vine at 200 meters. You know, I mean, that's the kind of ridiculousness that we'll start seeing.
But Representative, one reporter here at KUER pointed out that it takes more time and it takes more training to be licensed to remove hair from another person's body than it does to be able to carry a concealed weapon. That seems out of balance
because what did I say about the right to defend yourself is the same whether you have a permit or not. The permit in itself only allows you to do four things in Utah that you cannot do without a permit. That's it.
So there should be no imposed limits from your perspective. I mean, right now, you don't have to report lost or stolen guns. You can buy as many handguns as you want. There's no training required before you actually buy a gun. There's no ban on large capacity magazines. So if there are going to be any limits to guns, from your perspective, they have to be voluntary. They cannot, from your sense of the rights of all of this, they cannot be imposed by the government.
Right, right. See, as far as purchasing firearms, there's already restrictions on who can purchase. They have to go through background checks. Okay, so unless it's, you know, one private party to another, but if they buy a gun through a dealer, they have to go through a federal background check.
So you don't see, finally, I guess, Representative Oda, any reason to, because this was an isolated incident from your perspective, you don't see any reason for lawmakers to really react in any way to what happened last week?
Well, we should basically still could say, look, we want everybody to be more careful. We want you to get more training, but be aware more. You know, it's no different than those who travel by air who forget that they've got the gun in their briefcase or their purse, and they get caught going through the security checkpoint. Well, it's unfortunate. Again, 99% of those are inadvertent situations. But if they're intentionally trying to do something, hey, throw the book at them. But you know, we there's been a lot of work done to reduce the number of firearms going through the checkpoints, and I think you'll see some additional things happening there. But it's all voluntary education, and we just want people to become more aware, become more personally responsible, and that's where it should be. The personal responsibility is where we should all be striving for.
That's Curtis Oda. He's the Republican representative for Utah's 14th Legislative District. That's in Clearfield, and he joined us by phone from Clearfield. Representative, thank you for taking the time.
Okay, thank you.
801-585-WEST is the number to join the conversation. Before we head to a break, let's take a few calls. Jeremy is with us, calling from Midvale, Utah. Jeremy, hi.
Well, just a quick background on me. I was a Marine Corps veteran, served active duty as an infantryman for 4.5 years, did 2 tours in Iraq. When I got back here to Utah, I took a concealed weapons training class. And I don't know if it was my experience or if anybody else has had the same one, but it was terrible. It was grossly inadequate training. And there was no firearm handling proficiency for safety or anything like that. And I do think that we need to have some better discussion on training to have a concealed weapons permit here in Utah.
What about the idea of the representative is saying, fine, do as much training as you want, but it would be against the, I'm assuming he's thinking this is a constitutional thing, but it would be against the law, the rights of this in the second, outlined in the Second Amendment to impose that kind of training. Go and voluntarily train all you want, but you should not be able to impose that kind of training or require it.
Well, I think that if you're going to get a concealed firearm permit through the state of Utah, I do think that you should be more proficiently trained.
And it should be a requirement.
I think so. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I think you should have range time. I think you should actually handle a weapon in class and put at least a few rounds down range through it so that you can proficiently show that you can handle that firearm safely to get a concealed weapons permit.
What do you make of the idea of teachers in classrooms in, you know, public schools in Utah having guns? Are you comfortable with that?
To be honest, Doug, I am. I'm very pro-gun, and I think that those who choose to carry should be able to carry, but I think that they should be able to do so safely and proficiently through training, and that includes teachers as well.
Okay. Jeremy, glad you called. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
801-585-WEST. Again, the number to join the conversation. Barbara is with us calling from South Jordan. Barbara, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Listening to Representative speak, I just became increasingly alarmed at the things he was saying and the tone. I thought he sounded very hostile. And it really scares me to think of my two little girls being at school and the possibility of the only adult in the room carrying a gun. Yes, I may go to a movie theater or a grocery store and people are carrying concealed weapons all around me, but at least I'm an adult. To think of sending my little children to school, and again, the only adult in the room supervising them carries a concealed weapon that I don't even know about, alarms me. If someone came in with an AK-47 to shoot up a school, a teacher engaging an AK-47 with a handgun is not going to protect the teacher or the children. And I do believe the parents have the right to know if a teacher has a gun in my child's classroom.
But Representative Otis says that defeats the point. If I let you know as a parent that this teacher is carrying a weapon and you get some off-balance parent or there's some weird situation, that'd be a target.
I think if a teacher chooses to carry a gun in a classroom, then they have the responsibility of being answerable to the parents. I wouldn't make a teacher a target, but I might consider pulling my child out of that classroom.
Right. Okay. Barbara, glad you called. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
One more call before we head to a break. Patrick is with us in Salt Lake. Patrick, hi.
Hi, Doug. Can you hear me?
I can.
So I thought it might be notable to point out that I'm a concealed carry holder here in Utah, but I've never actually carried my weapon because I felt like the training for safety, for day-to-day handling, was totally inadequate. So this may fall a little bit in line with Jeremy's comments. Sounds pretty similar, but I would just make the point that I felt like everyone in the room, my girlfriend took the course with me, and we both agreed that everybody in the room, there was about a dozen people, were more interested in plugging the instructor for when they can use their weapon, when can we get away with using our weapon, rather than when do we absolutely have to, and how do I handle this dangerous responsibility on a day-to-day basis so I don't shoot myself in the foot in the bathroom or discharge in a more populated area like a classroom. I think that to up the requirement of safety of handling for concealed carry holders is absolutely necessary. To divulge who is a concealed carry holder is, I agree with the representative, it defeats the purpose and could make you a target. Right. But to require that somebody who concealed carry, not just owns, but concealed carry, has further safety training on day-to-day handling of a weapon just seems like it makes sense. And I'm a concealed carry holder that doesn't feel safe carrying a weapon here in Utah because of the classified.
So where do you fit in the... So you're someone who carries. You're someone, I imagine, who believes in the rights of the Second Amendment. But there's always that. So where do you fit in among your fellow believers? Do you think that Representative Oda represents kind of an extreme perspective? There ought to be no limits, no imposition whatsoever of requirements of training. Do you know what I mean? Where do you fit in the scheme of things?
I think that he makes a valid point only in that if you make proficiency a prerequisite to owning, then you've probably imposed a regulation that is not practical to regulate. And so I think that that probably restricts one's rights to own a gun. But let's make the distinction between purchasing a rifle and owning a weapon versus concealed carry. Mm-hmm. We're talking about higher safety training for concealed carry, not proficiency training to own a weapon. You are perfectly within your rights to go have a stupid accident while hunting because you didn't seek out the proper training. But you are not within your rights to carry a handgun, which has more potential to aim in the wrong direction while mishandling in a populated area. You should be required to have further training on how to handle that weapon on a day-to-day basis. Nobody's really talking about engaging. I heard you mention training to engage an assailant. Well, that's really good training to seek out. But what about the other 99% of the time or greater that you have to handle that weapon responsibly amongst a populated area?
Yeah. Let me ask you this final question for you. Net gain or net benefit or net risk of having a teacher with a weapon in a classroom? It's a good thing on net wise or a bad thing? It's more dangerous, because I think a lot of parents are saying, when it comes right down to it, it's just going to be even more dangerous. It's not more beneficial. Where do you come down on that?
I come down on both sides of the issue, like with most things. So I don't have any friends in the room, not on the left or right. I think that it's probably a net risk, but it's not appropriate to restrict. So that puts me squarely on both sides and totally contradicting myself. But okay. I think it's a net risk without the proper training. But gotcha. I think that it should be one's right to carry to protect themselves and their loved ones. So there you have it.
Got it. All right, Patrick, thanks. Thanks for the call. 801-585-WEST, the number to join the conversation. We need to take a brief break. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're asking just what we learned from the incident last week where an elementary school teacher in Taylorsville accidentally discharged her concealed handgun and injured herself in a faculty bathroom. Now, gun rights advocates say, look, this was an isolated incident. It was an accident. But advocates of gun control see it, and parents, by the way, many parents see this as an example of what can go wrong with a law where teachers can carry a gun at school and not tell anyone, not even the parents. Joining us now on the program is Carol Spackman-Moss, the representative for Utah's 37th Legislative District, which we should say includes parts of Murray and Granite districts. That Granite School District includes the Taylorsville School where the teacher injured herself last week when the gun went off. She has also been a high school teacher for some 33 years. In 2013, she introduced a bill in the legislature that would have allowed parents to find out if their children's teachers were armed in the classroom. The bill died without a hearing. She chose not to run that bill in the session this year. And that's a big prelude, but welcome to you, Representative Moss.
Thank you, Doug. I'm happy to be here.
So you ran this bill. It didn't go anywhere in 2013. You decided not to run it last year. Why?
Well, I saw this.
Or this year, I guess it was.
Right,
yeah.
This past session. I found that there's an absolute block to anything or anyone that tries to change in any way the current gun laws. And I heard Representative Otis say for 20 years we've had that in place, but actually it was 2004 when the bill passed that said the guns concealed carry permit holders could take guns into schools and just about any place except churches and restricted areas of airports. So it did add the public schools and the universities at that time, and it was very controversial. But, legislators of both parties are really afraid to speak out against gun regulation or loosening regulations in any way.
And so it's a non-starter.
It's a non-starter, but yet I feel a responsibility to my constituents, who include many, many teachers and many parents, who whenever an incident like this occurs or the tragedy at Sandy Hook, and they read in the paper, they hear in the news that teachers can carry weapons without anyone knowing, and they have no right to know. Then I get a flood of calls and emails saying, what? How can this be? I don't have a right to know. I drop my child off in the morning, young children, or my kids go to high school, and their teacher might have a gun, and I don't have a right to know this or know anything about their training. So that brought out that same shock and surprise from folks last week. And I'm not the spokesman for all teachers. All teachers don't agree, but I'd say most of them. And I talk to many administrators, principals, and superintendents who are uncomfortable with this law, but they have to comply with it. So they create policies to
work around it.
To work around it, to create a safe environment. Because I was a teacher for many, many years, and like any teacher I know, they love their students like their own children. And I don't question the motivation of teachers who want to carry, but the concern from parents is, How do we know what kind of training they've had, if any? And so this whole discussion on training or lack of it is really key to this argument.
It's a pretty compelling argument that Representative Odom makes. He's like, look, I know this happened, but we have more accidents with bus drivers. Everyone's freaking out about this one lady who shot a toilet in a faculty bathroom. Big deal. Things are fine. Just relax. How do you react to that?
Well, I think that's a false premise. I mean, it just doesn't relate to that particular incident. School shootings are very, very rare. And the reaction to them, of course, is huge because they're terrible. They're devastating, terrible tragedies.
And, but, of course, it only takes one to be absolutely tragic.
Right, yeah. But schools have responded with changes in lockdown, with drills. The training is much different. Do you know that when I was teaching, and still many teachers, including my daughter at her school, would have to go outside their room to lock their door. If you heard a shooter or there came over the PA lockdown, you have to go outside in the hall to lock your door. Those things are changing. See, schools have reacted. And I've heard gun safety experts say that a locked door is the biggest deterrent to a shooter. In Virginia Tech shooting, that was the case. He just went randomly from door to door, and if the door was locked, he went under the next door. He wasn't looking for anyone particular.
What do you think about Representative Oda was saying, look, you can look for more training. And that seems to be, I won't say a consensus, but we're hearing a lot of that in emails and in some of the telephone calls that, look, teachers should be armed, but they need to be trained in a legitimate way, in a real sort of world situation or certainly a mock situation. What do you figure, what kind of political will would there be on the Hill, if you introduced a bill that said, okay, teachers can still carry, but we're going to impose, and that's a word Representative Oda doesn't like, stricter training measures on teachers if they're going to carry a gun?
Well, your last caller made a really good point, a distinction between people with concealed carry permits and people who just have guns and use them for self-defense or hunting. And, you know, unfortunately, in this political climate, if you dare to speak out in any way, you're categorized as one of those anti-gun crowd, as he called it. And let me say, I'm not one of those. I have grandsons who are preteen and teenagers, and they are getting training in proper use of guns. They love to go to gun ranges. I don't have a problem with that. I grew up here in the West. Guns were part of my family, hunting and so on. But schools are unique situations. They're a unique place. It's a different kind of training that I think is required for someone to react when you are surrounded by children or teenagers. And I think there should be a distinction. So until parents react enough and contact their legislators and let them know they're not satisfied with the law as it is, nothing will change.
801-585-WEST is the number to join the conversation. Let's take a few more calls. Seth is with us in Eden, Utah. Seth, hi.
Hi, Doug. How are you today?
Fine, thanks.
Good. Hey, Doug, I'm a prior service Marine, tour in Iraq. I was a Marine marksmanship instructor, and I'm an NRA instructor. Shortly after Sandy Hook, my wife and I had a discussion, you know, about our children in our local elementary up here in Eden.
Yeah.
And we proposed to the principal and then ultimately to the school district that I would teach all the teachers, you know, proper weapons handling. If we allow our teachers to carry in school, we felt like, you know, the risk would be minimalized or would be less if they had the right training. I'm not, you know, I love guns. I grew up around them. I'm not opposed to teachers carrying. I am opposed to teachers not knowing what they're doing. You know, my children's lives are at risk, you know, either with a school shooter or with a teacher carrying. I think that statistics, and I don't know what they are, support that, you know, the more exposure, the higher the risk. So my proposal was that we would teach for free. The school district ultimately shot me down. You know, I can't speak for the school district. I don't know.
Right.
But I would urge teachers, you know, whether they seek out more training on their own or the school district tells them to or not, I would urge teachers to carry without around in the chamber, so to speak. So they have to make a conscious decision that they're going to use their gun, you know, to defend the children, to defend themselves. And you can load your gun very quickly. It takes less than a second, as you know, if you're well practiced, but that minimizes the risk of accidents. What are your thoughts?
Well, I want to get Carol Speckman Moss's thoughts on that. What he's saying, and this is interesting, he made a proposal. Here's a guy who's got all the benefides right here, by the way. Made a proposal to the school board. They seemed to demur. We're not sure what the reasons were, but it does raise the question of whether there would be the political will on the Hill, Utah's Capitol Hill, or in these school districts around the state to do something like that. What do you think?
Well, I think it puts undue pressure on teachers who don't want to have training in how to handle a gun. I mean, do you have any idea all the things teachers have to know now and the training for everything from, implementing new Common Core to technology, all those things? And most teachers, and I don't speak for all teachers, most teachers I know do not want that additional responsibility. And I'm not sure the school districts do either. As you may know, that the policies of most school districts, and you heard several of them on the news after last week's accidental shooting, is that they are not liable if teachers have an accident with their gun, because that's not part of their training. That's not part of their job description.
So once you do that, then they become liable? Do you think that's the resistance? Once you make it a proposal, then it becomes sort of an
official. I'm not sure. I just don't think they want to encourage that to be part of a teacher's training in general.
So wait, I don't get what you're saying. So you're saying they do need more training, but they shouldn't. It shouldn't be imposed upon teachers because it's burdensome to them.
Well, if they want to carry, they should have more training.
So if they want to carry, they should.
Right, but I don't think
not a flat sort of for all teachers.
No, but it shouldn't go through the school district. It should just be privately. They have to get training.
801-585-WEST is the number to join the conversation. Crate, let me just read the point that he was making to us. He mentioned, and Representative Moss, I want to get you on this. In order to hunt game, you have to take hunter safety. In order to drive a car, you have to take driver's ed. Guns on streets require at least the equal kind of training. That there's an imbalance here. We impose, and this is a point that Paul Benet, we're going to have on the program here in just a few moments, makes, that there should be a level of training that's expected.
I agree. There should be, because as I said, schools are a unique institution. They really are. You have children who behave, who might react in ways, hysterical ways, if something started happening, run around. We have huge classrooms in Utah. Talk to teenagers. I know teachers who've discussed this with their teenagers in high school, and they say it makes them very uncomfortable. They mention certain teachers and certain personalities, that those teachers might have guns. It's something that kids don't necessarily feel more secure about. And I think there's also a question I'd like some expert to answer, that if the teacher who was shot, accidentally shot herself, her students knew she carried because they could see the gun.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be concealed. You know, so was she out of compliance with the law? I think that's another question, is about where do you conceal it? Think of it. Kindergarten teacher with a gun and sitting down and standing up and sitting in reading groups with kids. It just doesn't seem like a compatible place for a gun, because you can't put it on a shelf and wait until you need it.
We're out of time in this section of the program, but I do want to ask you just quickly, are you going to propose any legislation related to guns?
I haven't made up my mind. It depends on public support. But the curious thing is that we have, with parental rights, they can opt out. If they don't want their kids to have sex education, they can opt out of testing. They can opt their children out of vaccinations. But we're not allowing any kind of opt out for having a teacher with a gun in class.
Carol Speckman Moss represents Utah's 37th legislative district. I guess we should point out you're a Democrat. I didn't really say that.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Doug.
We'll take a quick break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're talking about the lessons, whatever lessons there might be from the incident last week where an elementary school teacher in Taylorsville accidentally discharged her concealed handgun. Joining us now on the program is Paul Benet. He is the president and CEO of Sentinel Consulting. It's a private security consulting firm, which, as part of its services, provides security consulting and planning and engineering services for K through 12 school districts. He's joining us from the studios of NPR in New York City. And Paul Benet, welcome to you. Thanks very much for being with us.
Doug, thank you for having me on.
Well, you don't come down squarely on either side because you've seen this as a more complicated kind of issue. I wanted you to take a moment and react to what you're hearing so far. I mean, you're hearing people who are thoroughly on the side of rights of the Second Amendment, but still believe there should be training. I mean, you're hearing other perspectives, too. What do you make of the conversation that you hear on situations like this?
Yeah, boy, I hate to say this as such a neutral statement, but really both sides of the story have valid points. I myself am an advocate of the Second Amendment and believe that Americans under certain conditions should be able to carry firearms and own firearms. Representative Oda clearly pointed out that this is his point of view. However, when we talk about schools, we are in a different environment, and that environment entrusts the school districts and the teachers the livelihoods, the lives of many children that attend those schools. And because of that reason, we have a responsibility to analyze how those children are protected.
You pointed out that learning how to shoot a firearm doesn't mean you're qualified to engage someone under duress. Like, that is one thing that is crucial for people to understand, it seems to me, that the difference between just shooting at a target and the adrenaline pumping through your system when you're actually having to engage someone for real. Would you talk about that?
Yeah. Doug, this is a very big issue. As I made my point earlier that you had brought up about being a licensed driver of a vehicle and then taking that vehicle and then racing in a professional race, you know, this is much the same as a firearm owner, a firearm holder. You can be licensed to possess that firearm, but it's completely different when you are in a situation where lives depend on you reacting a certain way. I just want to paint a little picture.
Yeah.
When something bad happens, such as an explosion, like we could take the Boston bombing, for the most part, the vast majority of people run away from the danger. There's a couple of us crazy guys that will run towards the danger. But that speaks to the condition of what would happen in a school environment under a duress condition. There's very few people that have the mentality and the psychological makeup that just allows them to run towards the danger. And just going down to an office and filing a permit to be a licensed firearm carrier and going through some basic awareness training as to laws and proper conduct doesn't constitute that level of training. And so there's where we have the big separator.
You propose a much more intensive training program, which includes, you say, a psychiatric test, one that basically tests to see if this person can, in fact, handle a weapon under duress.
Absolutely. As Representative Oda pointed out and then followed up with Jeremy and Patrick, two callers that spoke about this, I do not propose this for licensing as a concealed carry permit. What I'm saying is that if a teacher has a responsibility to protect students, which they do, and then you allow a teacher to carry a firearm without the proper training, that teacher then becomes culpable. If a bad incident happened, could you imagine the headlines? Teacher was armed but failed to protect students. Okay, the school district themselves have no structure in order to organize this. So they're kind of hands off. They're looking to state legislature for guidance and direction. With that said, there has to be some structure in place where if a school district is going to acknowledge that teachers are responsible for protecting students and they're going to allow teachers through whatever mechanism is in place by the state to carry a firearm, then the school district is also acknowledging that they're implying an expectation for that armed teacher to act on behalf of the students or the staff if faced with an aggressor. Mm. Given that, there has to be some measure put in place that says that the individual employed by the school district has had the appropriate training so that there is at least a structure in place to provide an appropriate level of guidance so that there is no incidents that happen in a school.
Here's an email from an anonymous writer, a music teacher, though, teaches in rural Utah, who writes, "The response time of our local law enforcement is anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes. If there were an active shooter situation, many people could be harmed in that time. For that reason, many of our staff members are armed. But I do agree with Ms. Spackman that training is an issue. I train regularly with," he mentions, and he also points out, I should say, maybe a she, forgive me, "perhaps the state should come up with a training course that would help teachers be more competent." So this is something you've brought up, Paul Binet, this idea that let's keep in mind in some rural situations, like in the situation here, it's probably a good idea, at least from your perspective, to have someone who would be armed because of those response times.
Absolutely. Doug, I don't feel that we can create a blanket statement and say that no school districts have the ability to say that a firearm is allowed on their campus, because we do have school districts, and I've done assessments throughout the country where I've seen school districts have a 30, 45-minute police response time. Well, I couldn't say to that school district, well, you know, just do the best you can. No, I think there's just cause in certain circumstances that a school district needs to have the option to elect to arm someone in the school. But given that ability to choose that, there needs to be some responsibility attached with it, and that is appropriate training.
You know, this question of that Representative Oda brought up, that there should be the element of surprise, that telling everyone who has the guns makes no sense in an active shooter situation. And some have talked about the idea of having school marshals, kind of like air marshals, somebody on the premises, or some people, various people, may be armed. No one really knows who they are, but it's not necessarily the teachers. What do you think about that idea? It's come up from time to time.
I think that is a much better idea. I personally would not want a teacher identified as a carrier, because then they do become the target. I think that the school district needs to be the entity held responsible for the identification that firearms are permissible on campus by certain trained individuals, and then the same level of deterrent is provided, that it's acknowledged. Or the school district can opt to say that they have a policy in place but not identify the number of people that carry. From a parental perspective, this is where they need to weigh in with the school. Yes, you do have some things that need to be worked out here. I am a parent of two girls, and, I wouldn't have a problem if someone in the school was carrying a firearm, given the appropriate training was in place. Without the appropriate training, it scares me. It's just a bad idea.
But what do you make of Representative Oda's resistance to that kind of thing, the idea of imposing it from the government, that it somehow would restrict a constitutional right? I mean, you must see that from time to time in your line of duty.
Absolutely. In fact, some of the training that I do is enforcing the methodology of run, hide, fight.
Yeah.
And when we cover the fight element of that.
Explain what that is first before you move on.
Sure. So run, hide, fight basically is a methodology that says that if there is a bad situation happening, an active shooter, some type of violent aggression, if you can get away from it, get away. If you're not able to get away, hide yourself. And if you feel that you're going to be discovered, be prepared to fight. And so one of the things, obviously getting away, hiding yourself, putting as many levels of protection and barriers between you and the threat, all of those things come. But at a point, if you're faced with a decision where you have to fight, you need to mentally commit to certain things. Number one, you have to mentally commit that you are going to hurt someone And in fact, you may hurt them enough that it may kill them. And you have to resign yourself to the fact that you're going to cause injury. Once you do that, then you have to determine what it is that you're going to do and make a determination that you're going to do it until the threat goes away. And I teach various different techniques in order for teachers and or students and administrators to apply that are not firearms based. They are just simply utilizing their environment and the things that are everyday common things around them to be able to survive in a situation where you rise to the level of fight.
Here's a question. Ryan in South Jordan, I'm going to ask this question for you because we don't have time to take this call, but he wonders if there's evidence that having more armed people will make a school environment safer. Can we prevent what we think we would? Is there evidence to suggest that arming these teachers is in fact going to do the job?
Well, I don't believe that we have that information. And when you really look at this, we have such a small again, when one of these shootings takes place, it is a horrific event. And the reason we all know about it instantly is because we have the ability to communicate information via the media almost instantaneously as it occurs. And so we're very aware of what's happening, especially when something arises to the level of a fatality. But keep in mind that there's 56 million school students, public school students in America. And over the past 10 years, there's been approximately 33 violent school deaths annually. So if you take that into a rate of occurrence, it's so small. It's 0.006 people out of 10,000 U.S. students. Well, you have to have a lot of incidents in order to determine whether or not having armed people in schools makes a difference. So to gather that level of data is just a very difficult thing to do at this stage of where we're at with these type of incidents.
That's Paul Benny. He is a security consultant for Sentinel Consulting, joined us from the studios of NPR New York City. Mr. Benny, thank you very much for the time.
Doug, thank you.
Radio West is a production of KUER News. We invite you to continue the conversation by going to our website, radiowest.kuer.org. Technical direction from Mike Anderson, the program produced by Elaine Clark and Benjamin Bombard. I'm Doug Fabrizio.